We're going to continue on with this thing that we got into Sunday night. And the title is Lord, Help Me. And it's just a bunch of scriptural statements, a bunch of verses in the Bible that shows us what we're up against when we'd like to see people get some help and they want help from God, but why they won't go through a King James Bible or through following Paul's epistles or whatever. And I was thinking yesterday and today, the importance of this kind of a thing, because I've got, I don't know how many I've got. I must be in the 50 and 60 range now, and I'm only down to Galatians from where we started with wherever we started, Philemon or whatever. It's just full. And why is that important? And I was thinking, well, first of all, when we talk with people, or we try to talk with people, we don't get many people like John or Jason or Hugh. We don't run across those people all the time. And you've talked with people that are in just a huge mess, or you know they're headed for shipwreck, and you try to show them some things. Now, you don't try to teach them something you teach or what you believe. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. You try to teach them from a rightly divided King James Bible, which I'll have an opportunity to do here pretty soon, as I hope I always do. And you wonder why they don't get it. I mean, you really, like Paul says, he was perplexed. But if we can understand what the Bible says about why people don't want what God has, then that'll take away a lot of our distress. We're perplexed. We don't understand why they don't get it, because it's as plain as day, and it bothers you that they don't get it. But if we look at some of these things, we'll understand more why people aren't getting it when you can lay it flat in front of them on the table. Another thing, another thought. Just like Paul's prayers, we can look at his prayers that he's prayed, and not repeat the prayers, but we understand what he's praying for, and we can apply those in our prayers for our children and our families, and as a result of that, it gives us some objectives and some goals to be striving towards. We're not just praying for a job, we're praying for enlightenment. We're praying for all those things Paul prays for. So if we understand, or we've read all these different things that are interfering with trying to get our kids or anybody else to understand the Paul thing, it helps us learn to deal with some of the things that we see. Why doesn't this person get it? Well, you know what? I think this guy's caught up with the world philosophies, and he's getting caught up in college, and you see these kind of things. Or this person over here, they're caught up in music and the power of music. And these things we can see in the Scriptures. And it'll encourage us to understand why they aren't. And maybe we can actually prepare a little bit to explain some things. Number three, just a quick thought here. It helps us for ourselves to understand what can take us down. Us, right here. These are the things that we could get caught up with and quit listening and quit understanding and quit hearing about Paul or whatever. So it can hit us too. It can even take our desire away. We don't even want to hear this anymore. We don't even want to go to the church thing. We understand it, we believe it, but you know, I'm just tired of it. And we can see maybe from our own reading over these things what we're being challenged with. And then the fourth thing here, to me it's still the most important thing, is once again we realize everything's in this Bible. There's not an issue out there, there's not something out there that cannot be answered or guided or directed within this Bible. I mean, here's 50, 60, 70 reasons, I'm sure I'm missing some of them, why people don't want to go with God, even though they say, help me God, but they don't really mean that. Why would that happen? Here's a whole bunch of things. I mean, everything is in that Bible. So, the more I thought about this, this is something worth dealing with. Unfortunately, we can't, or fortunate, I suppose, depends on who you are. Remember I said a long time ago, I like to do a sermon all Sunday, from about 7 in the morning until just, I'm done. Maybe go a day or two's worth. And just, you can come and go as you want, I could care less. I am going to preach as much as I can go through my Bible. I'm going to hit it all in a set of about 20 CDs, you know, and just do something like that. You look really nice. Aren't you glad that we don't have to do that stuff? You know, I mean, just bop in here. We've either got Boise smelling back there, or bug spray up here, or hairspray over here. I don't know. We've got all those kind of things in here. Old, you know, hay bales. That's a good smell, because I used to do that, you know, right back when hay bales were little bitty things, you know. So anyway, glad to have you here. So anyway, Let's just jump into these things. These things are all potential sermons. And I know you know that. I know he's talked about this. So let's make these quick. 1 Timothy chapter 1, this is part 2. Now out there on the website, the notes are available, but they're all in the same set of notes. But you just got to click on the little doohickey up at the top and it takes you down to part 2. And I don't know what modern computer people call doohickeys. They're some kind of a doohickey. So 1 Timothy chapter 1. Here we go. Well, I'll try to get as many as I can get done tonight because we don't want to belabor this thing or whatever that word is. Is that the right word? Make something last too long? Belabor? Or 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. This is as far as we got last week. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 9. Here we go. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars. Liars brings everybody in right there, by the way. Just point that out. And for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. And we know that Paul preaches sound doctrine. So according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And one of the things I do believe that we can attest to the fact that people aren't interested in Paul's teachings about what the risen Savior done is because they don't know anything about God. Look at Romans chapter 7. And I think that is one of the huge dangers of our little kids. When they're little, being introduced to Jesus, ask Jesus into their heart, and they grow up all their life doing this lovey-dovey Jesus stuff, and they know nothing about God. They realize, and that's just what it said right there, the law has a purpose still to this day. And in Romans chapter 7, verse 9, much more than being Romans chapter 7, verse 9. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Sin's in all our little children. It's just not activated or whatever. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. So we recognize, look at Galatians chapter 3, that yes, there's people out there that need to know the goodness of God. They need to know all these things. But we can't forget the fact that if they don't understand God in the first place, so there is a need for talking about the judgment of God in some form or another, eventually to some folks. But the fear that I have is our little kids never understand that stuff. So they don't need, why would they need to hear about the risen Savior? What did He do? Well, He took care of sin. Well, what is sin? What does that have to do with anything? I just have to be a good little boy, a good little girl as I grow up, and I'll be a good Christian boy, and if I don't do it, I'll ask Jesus to forgive me because He loves me, and I'll do better. And they don't realize that even the fact that you read what it is that Paul teaches, Christ doesn't just suddenly hand us grace. I mean, He had to actually create a grace. So it's not even His choice whether He lets you have grace or not. It's there. It was created by Him getting rid of the law. Right? I mean, get rid of the law, we just have grace. So people don't realize that God still had to do something in order for this dispensation of grace to exist. So them not understanding the law, Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. Very important set of verses here. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin. See, if they don't understand the Scripture about sin, they don't think they're a sinner. Well, people aren't going to hell because they're sinning. They're going to hell because of Adam's sin that we all have on us now, or as a lost person. So that law will tell everybody that they can't do it, and they haven't done it. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, here's the point, we were kept under the law, shut up into the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that, faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We can't skip the schoolmaster. Our little kids still need to learn about God. So one of the reasons I see people aren't interested in this stuff is because they don't know anything about God. They think they're going to just be able to talk them into letting them go. Or, I'll just let God decide. Well, He's already decided. We can tell you all sorts of things. So people don't understand God. And Paul talks about that in Acts, I think it's, I don't know, 17, I think it is. They're worshiping the unknown God. They know nothing about this God. So why are people getting caught up in this modern religion instead of Paul? They know nothing about God. Why when people quit and just bag the whole thing, I don't blame them. They're realizing that religion is dead. But Is there a God? Where is He in my life? You can find that out from Paul. But if they don't understand anything about God at all, then they're not going to fall into a Bible. I mean, there's 300, 400 different Bibles out there. They need to know that God promised His Word. Now, where's that Word at? So they have to know about God. And that law is very important. Okay, here's another one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Here's another one. Why people aren't into... they want help, but they don't want help from God. And they especially don't want help from a rightly divided King James Bible, Paul-following type of a teaching ministry. They don't want that at all. Why not? Well, here we go. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which ye received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Well, some people don't know anything about Paul. They don't know anything about these people that worked with Paul. They know nothing. They know nothing about what it is to walk orderly, based on Paul's teaching. They don't know them. So if they don't know them, why would they try to get in there to know them? There has to be somebody there that's walking orderly. There has to be somebody there that has not, as it says, they behave not ourselves disorderly, for them to see an example. So a lot of people are just comfortable. They're comfortable. Life's going on fine. They're ignorant of all this stuff about what Paul's teachings. I mean, it's there, so they read their Bible. They say they read their Bible. I don't know how you can read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation and now start to recognize these things with Paul unless we're blinded or taught by some other religion or whatever, as compared to just sitting down and just reading this thing carefully. So some people are just being disobedient. They're being rebellious on purpose. They've been brought up with religion, and they don't want religion, so out goes religion. Well, if out goes religion, so does the Bible, so does church, so does the whole spiel, and that they just got to go through that. Let's look at another one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. Here's another reason. People just aren't interested in the Paul stuff, I guess, possibly anyway. They've become weary. Verse 13. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Now, this sounds kind of arrogant to think that you're getting tired of doing well, doing right, kind of a thing. But you're trying to do right, you're trying to dress right, you're trying to talk right, and you've got all these issues that pop up, and the heat and all that stuff, all the things I've always whined for you about. You probably just get tired of that stuff. You're probably going to slap on something for today, and who cares? Nobody's going to be around anyway. Or you're tired of trying to talk right, and you finally just blow your cool, let somebody have it. Or you're just tired of doing the church thing, the Bible reading thing, so you pop up another book and you never get back to your Bible again. Or you're tired of staying away from the TV because it's just you just kind of need the sound around. So you find a breakdown and buy the box and pop goes the TV and then it's always back on again. We get tired of that kind of stuff. Try not to do this. Try not to do that. He says, be not weary in well-doing. Now, along those lines, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Couple little added verses to this thing to show why these could all become sermons if I'm not careful. So I'm not being careful right now. I want to show a couple of these. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, so they've got this ministry here, and it's tiring, no doubt about it, as we have received mercy, we faint not. So one of the things that can keep us from being weary is the fact that we've received God's mercy. Well, why should we worry about mercy? Well, don't we need His mercy too? Here we're trying to do a right thing, and yet we trip and we fumble and we blow our temper. We do different things, and His mercy keeps us just keep on going. The mercy and His grace and long suffering, all those things that are there. So because of that, we don't quit. His mercy. What's He done? Boy, He has covered our lives. His mercy is there. We really ought never quit just because of the mercy that we receive from Him. Look at us. Look at chapter 4, verse 16. So I guess I got to find 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. You look up above that, the context, and you see abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many and things. But we see in verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Don't we get tired on the outside? Our outward man is tired. We're bummed. We're tired. It hurts. It's getting older. The way life is, it's horrible, but we should be renewed every day because everything that Christ has done on the inside. So that in itself is our outward man perishes, but if we stick with that inside, we'll still keep going. Don't you ever feel like quitting and fainting and all that stuff? We let the outside walk tear us down. It should not. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Now, I realize that I think this helps get people down too. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13, this all has to do with being weary. Why don't people want Paul? They get tired of doing right or trying to do right. They get tired of that. They get tired of the battles that come with it. We want to quit. We faint, kind of a thing. Here we see in Ephesians 3:13, he says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you." So this is Paul who's having a hard time. He's got tribulations hurting on him, and it says, "which is your glory." So had to look at that verse for a couple of seconds, thinking, "Look at that. Paul's going through all this stuff, and his people want to quit because of what the pastor's going through." In Paul's case. And Paul was always being hassled and challenged. And it wears you down when you know that some of the difficulties I have or some of the challenges I have or possibly even some of the battles that go on here. And if you think about it, what it does to me. And after a while, you get tired of that. Why can't we just have a church with a regular pastor who just loves everybody and everybody loves him and there's no hassles, there's no issues here. I get so tired of the battles. He always seems to have something going on in his life and it can wear you down too. Now, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'll show you something about that. 1 Thessalonians. I mean, the same thing with kids. Kids can get tired of the battles the parents are always having. I don't mean personal battles. I mean life battles. The economy, the struggles that parents go through to keep food on the table and keep the roof going and all these kind of things. And it's tough. And it's really hard on the parents. In some cases, they can barely make it. And that could wear down the kids too as they watch what's taking place. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse 3. "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." And then it goes on. One of the things that we can do here is we can stop that work of faith. We can give up on this labor of love. A labor of love. It takes work. We can run out of patience of hope. We can give up. And so one of the reasons that people can get bogged down to the pastor because he gives up. And he doesn't want to keep fighting those fights after a while. Or some of you folks give up and you give up that faith, what does it say there? It says work of faith. It's a work of faith. I don't understand sometimes, but you do it anyway. You know what that is? That's a work of faith. Why are you still here when you know what's going on? Well, it's a work of faith. You're still having faith. Why do you try to tell anybody anything? Well, it's a work of faith. Why do you care about other people? It's a labor of love. It's a lot of work to love people. And patience of hope. I'm running out of patience. I'm running out of hope. Why is that? Well, I'm getting weary in well-doing. Why is that? Well, we're always having battles. Well, you quit after a while. All these things can wear us down. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. See, this is a sermon all by itself. In most churches, we'd leave after this. Hi, girls. And we don't do that here. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I get a chance to talk to this pastor in Louisiana, and he's all excited, and he's learning this stuff. That keeps you going. I get a phone call from a man in Birmingham, Alabama, two days ago in the morning. And he's been reading this stuff and learning, and he's having an exciting time seeing this stuff. The work that this church is putting out, it's got fruit. I had somebody write me yesterday, somebody that we all know quite well from live in a different part of the country, and they were asking about some of the fruit of the ministry here. Well, that's good. I think I'll sit down and I'll start thinking about some of the good things that have come out of this place. And everything from the website to statistics to a couple of churches that have been started because of here. The people out there that are still changing their lives because of what's going on. And, you know, even if somebody says they believe this stuff but don't want to do it, there's still a victory there because they still believe it. and they have a little battle going on. That's okay. We all have our battles. Nobody's in here trying to get us from stop sinning. We're trying to get people to realize that Christ took care of sin. And then your response back to that's totally up to you. As you grow up as a Christian, you'll respond more and more and more. So we ought not get weary. And one of the reasons people don't want to stick with Paul after a while, because it wears you out. How can it wear you out? Well, what's a Great Commission? What's the goal for Great Commission? Get more people to come to church. That's it. You know how easy that would be? I mean, we got enough music talent here. We got enough money probably. We could do something out there. We could get some more people to come to this place. We could put out a Sunday of an apology to the community. I mean, I know how to get people back. But it would be wrong and it'd be a lie. So, but that's all you got to do. And I warned this guy. I said, John, now just remember this. You've had a church where you try to get people to come visit. You're going to start visiting people. You're going to start getting into the Paul stuff and the Timothy and Titus stuff. And you're going to see some of the struggles they're going to have. And you're going to see them not get victories. You're going to see them purposely not get victories. And you're going to see the battles. It's going to wear you down like you've never believed. That's why people are interested in Paul. I mean, they got to battle the kids, what they wear. Why can't they wear this? Why can't they do this? It just doesn't please God. Well, get into all that stuff. You know, you just do. It wears you out. After a while, you get weary in well-doing. And you let them go do what they're going to do because you just give up. And he says not to do that. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we're supposed to even be there, not to provoke each other unto good works, but to encourage us and to give us some strength to keep going when things are so rough. And sometimes it's pretty hard to do. It's hard sometimes to give somebody some advice when you know it's going to really hurt them, if you really say what the scriptures are saying. I've got one coming up. I don't know if it's going to be this Sunday or whatever. There's a book that was put out that I know Christians are going to buy all over this country. And that just irritated me. So I got to have a scriptural sermon answer to that thing. And it's a very important subject. But to preach that thing, it's going to hurt me as well as anybody else. I don't mean to do that, but there has to be an answer, because this one, I'll tell you about it more later, this one subject that this guy wrote a book about, it's a big subject. But I actually ordered the book so I can give the guy $6 of my money, and I want to read that thing because I know he's going to lie to people, and it bothers me. So we have to stay strong in this stuff, but it's going to be hard. Let's look at another one, another thing here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, go back to something else. There's some other reasons people just don't want to get into the Paul stuff or ask God for help. I mean, you just think about it. As we're doing this thing, I don't even have this down for one of them, but just the unknown God. They asked God for help, but they didn't know anything about God, how He's even going to help them, how we can help them. Learn all that from Paul. But this is another one, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. It says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Well, that's not so hard to say. Why do they not want that? Why are they not willing? They don't know what Paul taught. You know how many people you argue with and you talk with and you kind of, they don't know anything about Paul? Have you ever read your Bible? Sure have. Have you read Paul's stuff? Sure have. Can I show you some stuff? Nah. They've never read that. They don't understand that stuff. So we got that crowd. They don't understand where the strength comes from with grace. They don't understand that our strength doesn't come from doing right. Our strength comes from His grace. That when we do slip up, keep going. They don't understand that there's no chastisement. They just think everything's going fine. God hasn't stopped them. God must like this music. God must like how we're dressing. God must like where we're going, because He never stops me. Never gotten sick because of it or anything. So they just don't understand. They look at verse 16. They've pretty much rejected God's consolation and good hope. It says, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation. How did He do that? We should know that by now, I think. And good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. I'm still surprised more and more how I see more and more serious Bible people, Bible Christians, that are becoming more and more comfortable in the ways of the world and in the attire of the world and with the things that the world does than they are with doing right and learning from Paul and the King James Bible. We're becoming very comfortable in this world. And Paul never tells us to be comfortable in the world. We're going to have to be in the world, but he never tells us that the world will comfort us. So I'm kind of saddened by what I see in that department, but I guess that's what apostasy is. And it's going to happen. Let's look at another one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. Now, is anybody troubled out there? Well, sure they're troubled because that's why they're going to God for help. They just don't know how to get it. They don't want to get it from Paul. Here we go. 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Well, why would they be so troubled? Well, they don't know what's coming. They don't know the Lord's going to take care of this stuff. Look at it. It says there, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, Revelation 19, and flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ is the risen gospel, not as compared to the gospel of Jesus as such. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So we know what's coming. We know what's coming. So, yeah, we get troubled in the flesh, we get troubled with what's going on, but these guys, if they continue the way they go, we know where they're going to end up. It always bothers me to think that when they say in a prison situation that we'll let this guy stay alive, we'll keep him in life instead of death, instead of the capital punishment thing, because he'll be a whole lot worse off if we let him live and we treat him like we do. No, that's not true at all. The guy should die because of what he did, and then he'll go to hell. You can't get a worse punishment than that. Or he gets the opportunity to be saved if you send somebody in there other than a Catholic chaplain or some modern guy, whatever. But we know what's coming down the road. I mean, if our girls and our boys grow up and they have to live long enough to be in this world, and the world's going to whack them like it's probably going to do, well, we know what's going to happen to this world. So, people are troubled because they don't know the ending. It's like reading the last chapter first, like I usually do when I get a book. Just read the last chapter, then what's the point of reading the rest of the book? I know the ending, right? I can't watch anything anymore. When I used to watch the sports, I used to watch the replays. Why sweat through the sports stuff? Why sweat through anything when you can just get the end and enjoy it? You know that last shot's not going to go in, you know? That's you missing your glasses? You got glasses, huh? You got glasses, huh? You got new glasses? Wow. See, dumb question. Just Amanda, where's your glasses? Still? Anyway, here we go. Keep going. This is a tough one. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 12. Got to move along. This is taking way too long here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Don't like to talk about this stuff about pastors, but it'll be good for you someday when there's another one here. But they don't trust their pastor. Why do people not want to look at this Paul thing? Well, they can't do what Paul suggests when it comes to a pastor. They expect too much out of him. Maybe they expect perfection, so when it's not there, he's the only one that can have unpardonable sins. Everybody else is pardonable. Or they're impressed and thankful for the previous years, but they're mad at him now and they kind of forget about all that. Or they still think that he's lying doctrinally. Can't possibly be what he says. They don't trust his rightly dividing because they think he's doing it in a private interpretation manner, which is not possible if you do it according to book. But if you rightly divide according to verse, then you have to privately interpret, but not according to book. The book's written by Paul. They think he's brainwashing everybody. I've heard that one recently, manipulating everybody. Okay, get your Bible out, show me where I'm wrong, kind of a thing, and they can't do that. Rumor, gossip, cast doubts upon the hearers that are out there. At home, the kids hear the parents over the years bash the preacher and the sermons and all that stuff. And is it any wonder nobody wants to trust what this guy has to say? It's not coming out of his Bible. There's pastors out there that headed up the folly of their religion, and I wouldn't trust them now either. There's so many guys I wouldn't listen to right now because I know what they've been preaching. I know what they've been teaching. Nice people. I wouldn't fight with them, but I wouldn't fellowship with them as such, because what's the point? We're in two different ends of the spectrum, and they're wrong. Some of the people out there get tired of the pastors. All they preach about is the guilt of the sinning, and you're not bringing people to church. We need more money and to pay for this and that. You get tired of that sort of a thing. A lot of people don't like the authority that the pastor preaches. Well, I'm working on a sermon for that one again. If the pastor preaches with a rightly divided King James Bible, he is speaking with final authority of his Bible. Nobody likes that. I've learned that even recently. How can you talk that way? Well, I'm not talking that way. I'm showing you, it doesn't say two ordinances. Show me where it says two ordinances. And I'm fine. No, it's not me manipulating anything. It's preaching with authority. The Bible doesn't tell us to do that. So, and then the final thing you need to realize, though, there, verse 13, if a person could accept and trust their preacher and pastor based on the Bible, knowing that he's a wretched man just like you are, then you would have, in verse 13, you'd be at peace among yourself. You know how many people are miserable because of their preacher? I've been there. I've done it. I know what it's like to go to church. He couldn't tell me that the sun is shining. I probably wouldn't believe it. You get that way. Why do they get that way? That's a long story. But it's too bad when you do, because you don't have any peace. Because it's a struggle all the time. What a waste of effort. Here's another one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8. Just moving along here, not very quickly, but we'll work at it here. What do we got? We got 1 Thessalonians 4, 8. Some people, it says, "He therefore that despiseth not man." You think people are mad at me? You think people are mad at you? You think they're mad at this church? Nah. Paul says, no, if you're going to despise, you're despising God. You're mad at God. That's all. "Who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit." So, you know, all you do is make people madder. If they're mad at you and you say, "You're not mad at me." "I am too." "No, you're not." And smile when you say this. You're not mad at me. I'm mad at you. I know what to do. He said, no, you're not mad at me. You're mad at God. You're mad at Paul. You're mad at your King James Bible. It says what it says right here. And what was done properly. I'm still a wretched man. You're a wretched man. But what's right was done, and you're just mad at God. I do tell people quite often, "Hey, I didn't write the book. I'm just trying to tell you what it says." So, yeah, that's one thing. Why don't they want to do the Paul thing? Well, they really don't know, but they're actually mad at God. Why, when a kid grows up, do they not want to do this stuff? Well, they're probably mad at God because they didn't like how they were brought up. Well, maybe God got to blame and he wasn't supposed to. Maybe some of the reasons that I'm going to talk about coming up here pretty soon about our young people today, maybe a lot of these young people are right. They spotted the folly. And they want out. There's always that possibility. So there's no point in blaming God for some of the things that take place. Here's another one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. It says right here, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." Well, you know why people don't want to follow Paul and the risen Savior? Because they haven't received how ye ought to walk and to please God. It's that simple. Nobody's told them. I'm thinking way back in New York when this one guy said to me, "You were supposed to follow Paul's teachings." And I laughed at him. Maybe, and I'm not second guessing this, but maybe if he'd have said something about Paul teaches about what Christ really did for sin, or some kind of a comment in there that made me think about it some more. But just to say we're supposed to follow Paul's teachings, not Jesus, and we could say that people go, right. Maybe somebody would have showed me some other things that Paul teaches, maybe it would have been different. So why do some people not want to help ask God for help through Paul in the rightly divided King James Bible? They don't know what the help is that's in there. They haven't been told. Of course, it's hard to tell them if they don't want to hear it. But there are ways of telling people some of those things. Here's another one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. You notice we're going backwards in the books here. First Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Well, people ask help from God, but they really don't want to do what they need to do when they're given what they need to be done. I don't think I said that right. But it says, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face. Let's get together. Let's show them a King James Bible. Let's show them a rightly divided Bible through Paul. And it says right there, because that'll help you perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Oh boy, that sounds exciting. They don't want to hear that. People will complain, I need this, I need to do this, we're in such a mess. Well, maybe you need to cut up the credit cards. Well, no, I don't want to do that. Well, you're going to be in a mess. You know, some things have to be done. And who wants that kind of a thing fixed? So when he says there, which is lacking in your faith, not just your walk, but your faith. To get our faith strengthened takes away our whining. And some people thrive on whining. They would rather just complain, be critical of everybody but themselves. No, we can get your faith perfected by looking at yourself instead of other people. Who wants to be told that one? There's all sorts of things that we don't want to hear. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Who wants to have their faith perfected? Who wants to grow? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, here's one way out of it. And here's how you can feel good about yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. He says here, For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So what are we talking about here? It's, you don't need to have your faith perfected. All you have to do is find somebody who's worse than you. And you'll feel better. And he says here, listen, just compare yourself with somebody else. You can find somebody that's shorter or somebody that's thinner or material food, clothing wise, or somebody who's grumpier than you, cusses louder than you or more often than you. You can find somebody somewhere that's worse than you and you'll feel good about yourself. And he even says measuring themselves by themselves. Well, listen, I've come a long ways. I only yell and cuss 2 days a week. And so we're happy. And there's something to grow on. There's something to that, obviously. But if that's going to be our standard, you throw out the Bible. Have you not recognized yet, I think you have here, that whenever you think you're doing better, your Bible reading knocks you down another notch? You ever notice that? I mean, we just aren't close enough. We're doing better compared to what? Compared to what we were before. Okay, that's good. Is that enough to stop right there? Not at all. Just like that one verse, like we were reading all these horrible, horrible, horrible things about people, what they do, and the one word was liar. Poof, that puts us in that little category right there. And maybe we never noticed that before. You think you're doing well, God reminds you that you're a liar. I'm not a liar. Right there, you just lied. You know, because you're a liar. All are liars, so. So that's a big thing. We like to find somebody else that's worse than us. That just makes us feel a little better about ourselves. And that's not right. So anyway, there's a couple more here. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. More reasons why people don't want to have God help them through risen Savior and Paul. Colossians chapter 4. Verse 3. Masters, given to your servants, let's see, is that what I want here? Yep, that's what it is. Which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Really, all I want is 3 right there. So, what are the possibilities that you're trying to talk to somebody and the door just isn't open? You just can't get in. You just can't talk about it. They're not interested. The door is shut. So one of these places Paul says that, you know, you pray for me, you pray for the people that are out there, the men that are out there, the ladies that are trying to talk to the ladies and this type of thing, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, something to say, some way to get something started. started by what? To speak the mystery of Christ. This is what he says there. So that made me think of Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, that's the Philadelphian church in verse 7 and verse 8. And I know we're not in the tribulation. I know we're not in the Laodicean church age. So we would still be in the Philadelphian church age. And if that's the case, we still live in a day where God can open a door. That's what it says. Verse 7, and the angel of the Lord church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. And you look at that thing, and yes, it says that no man can shut the door of the ministry that you're trying to get going, but if people aren't interested, God didn't shut the door. The guy's just not ready. Just not interested. Is that a possibility? Sure it is, because Paul says that we need to pray that there be a door open that I can talk to people about. Pray for that. Maybe one of the reasons somebody's not getting this is because they're just not ready to get it yet. You tell them what you can, you squeak in that door, in that open door, what you can say, and then you get out of there. Maybe it'll come back in 5 years. I mean, here's this John. He's a pastor down in Louisiana. He gets saved. He preaches all this other stuff. And later, he gets into the Paul thing. It's God's timing. Here's another one. Oh, let's see here. What can we do them all? We're just going to try to... Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Go back to Colossians chapter 2. Some other reasons why people just don't get it. It's as plain and simple as an English King James Bible. Rightly divided, following the books that starts off with the word Paul. Those are the books that he wrote. Those are the things that we're supposed to turn to and live to. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us that beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the traditions of men. After the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So, the world can get us. The world's education, philosophy, vain deceit. They're just playing a game out there. And it's after the tradition of men, rudiments of the world, and it says, not after Christ. So, look at verse 1. Why would they go down this road? Because in verse 1, Paul says, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. So there's people out there that in his day that hadn't seen Paul, hadn't heard him preach, hadn't seen what Paul says and hadn't heard what Paul says, and as a result, they fall into the trap of the philosophy and vain deceit and traditions of the world, of traditions of the men of this world. They haven't heard the Paul thing. So, if they don't hear what the Bible says about Paul, rightly dividing and check into that stuff, the world can get them. There's a reason they don't get it right there. Philosophy and vain deceit. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1. This is a tougher one for us to deal with sometimes. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. It says here now, and this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And it says, your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That's growing up. There's no point of really getting mad at your little kids when they're little over something that they did. They're a little kid. And I realize you have to discipline. I know you have to tell them something and you teach them this kind of stuff. But sometimes our kids will do what kids do because kids are brainless. They're just kids. We sometimes expect our kids to grow up way too much when they need to just do whatever when you see what I'm saying? They haven't grown up yet. We treat our little kids sometimes like they're adults, way too much. We've been over this. When I was a kid, you had a senior, what do you have, king and queen in high school? Now they got king and queen probably in preschool. They probably have it at the hospital. When the kids are born, they probably put a little crown on their little heads. I mean, it's just ridiculous. By the time you get to be a senior, there's nothing to do that's new because you've done it since you were in grade school. I had a sixth grade graduation. Now they've got kindergarten graduation. They've probably got fourth grade, middle school graduation. They've probably got, ninth grade graduation. All that kind of a thing. Just an example there. So my point is this. A Christian grows in knowledge and in judgment. Somebody first gets saved, first start reading this stuff, and you wonder why they haven't done all the stuff they haven't done. Well, they haven't grown up yet. They just haven't grown up yet. They need to grow up quickly in this world. So let's look at a couple of verses. You know the two verses, Ephesians 4:14 and 1 Corinthians 13, as far as growing up as men. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at a couple of other ones. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. You know some of the reasons why some people's eyes haven't been enlightened yet? Verse 18. They haven't grown up yet. They're still acting like children as a Christian. That you may know what the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Well, He hasn't grown up yet. He hasn't gotten to that part of His growth. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? What does that mean? To some people it means nothing. To some people it means everything because they've learned what that is. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. Says there in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, that we should be able to comprehend with all saints what is breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, some people don't understand that. I've come to learn more about that. Not enough yet. I mean, He truly loves us. He loves us so much that He went and paid the penalty that He did, and it goes beyond that. Then you go down this long list of stuff. Makes more sense to me now than it did a couple years ago. One of the things we expect out of our children and teens is to understand everything. They can't. They're not an adult yet. They're not grown up yet enough. And that's okay, because neither are we as Christians. But, see, that's why I say what I say. We've been on this Paul kick for about, since 2004. Actually, it goes back to 2003. We have had the opportunity to grow up with charity and grace and all these things that you hear about, and it's still being done in a childish manner. There's still things that aren't being done scripturally based on Paul. Some of the struggles we have as Christians are because we don't want to grow up and deal with it in a manner that we know we need to. I can be just as guilty. So we still have a lot of growing to do with Paul. But just remember, it's been 5 years. It's just that we took one step at a time. One itty-bitty step at a time. Because I was afraid to preach this one. Oh, man, this is different. But that's what it is. Okay, now we'll do this one. Let's do this one. But now we're to where we should be able to take some pretty heavy-duty chunks and realize what it is that Paul's preaching. The hard thing for me would be to go to another church and visit some other people or whatever. In fact, it is. And for them to ask a question with me not putting a what on the plate. The whole entire stack of meat, poof, right there. It's hard. It'd be like you sitting down with, they're like Scott sitting down with Amanda and trying to explain to her something that's really grown up big time and get mad at her for not understanding that thing. And you're trying to find a way for her to understand it and you lost her in about, what, 10 seconds? 20 seconds? I mean, those are kids. They ask this serious question. And then while you're answering the question, they're gone sucking on a sucker because you lost them. I mean, that's what it's like. So it's hard, though. It's tough. You hope they grow up. And quite often our kids, we've pushed them too far. And sometimes you do the same thing to Christians. Look at Colossians chapter 1 along those lines. Colossians chapter 1, one more, verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Why don't some Christians understand this in verse 9? Filled with all with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Some people don't know yet that they shouldn't wear that. Somebody doesn't know yet that they shouldn't go there. What's wrong with this music? They don't know. But it takes us back to that question. Do they really want to know? That's why we're going through these things. Well, why don't they want to know? I don't know. Ask Amanda. Why doesn't she want to know this adult thing? Well, she can't. In some cases, Christians are not ready for this stuff yet. Look at, how are we doing? I suppose you're better. Let's see. We got a couple more here. We can do, let's do this one. Let's do this one. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, we can look at these as slaps in the face or criticizing somebody else or whatever, but it's not. This is the Bible just telling us why people don't want to do what Paul says we ought to do to be a Christian. Why are they not interested? When they ask God to help, why don't we actually want that help? These are some of the reasons. Here's another one. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But be not ye therefore partakers with them. Is that right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Yep, there we go. And we've been deceived with vain words. Now, vain words, another word I like to look into is flattery. Look at Proverbs 26. You can tell people some words that mean nothing, but it makes them feel good. That's vain words. That's flattery is all that is. Proverbs 26, verse 28 says, a flattering mouth worketh ruin. When I find out that somebody was mad or doesn't like what we were teaching for over a year, and you didn't recognize it because they were very flattering, those are vain words, means nothing. You know what you lose from then until eternity? Trust. Because now you don't know if somebody's just being nice to you to be nice to you. Honesty is a very important characteristic to have. And it's like when you blow it, you've blown it. And flattering, when you find out later that maybe you aren't as good at such and such as you were flattered to think, can be very devastating. So we can flatter our kids to death, and they finally get old enough to realize, I really can't do that. That's very damaging. So why is it sometimes people don't want to do the Paul thing with the King James Bible? Because they've been flattered so much with vain words from their pastor and from their church and their family and the whole thing. They don't even think anything's wrong anyway. They've been flattered to think that everything's fine and dandy. And that's what pastors have to do. They have to flatter these people to get them to come. That's what you have to do. And maybe I could do a better job of flattering, but I want people to hear this because this is what they want. I don't want to flatter people. You find yourself doing it. Look at verse 23. Proverbs 28, verse 23. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Proverbs 28, verse 23. It is better to rebuke a man afterwards, take a hard hit, shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Look at Job chapter 17, verse 5. This is my favorite verse when it comes to flattery. Job 17:5. Yeah, but it's Job. Yeah, it's still a fact, though. Job 17, verse 5. He that speaketh flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail. He that speaketh flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail. We can destroy our children by being flattery-ish. What we're learning there. So, some of the reasons people don't want to get into the Paul stuff. Paul's not very flattering, is he? You run through Titus, you run through Timothy, you run through Thessalonians, and you Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians. It's not flattery. It's very good stuff to read, but it's not flattery. You go through those other books, he's not very flattering. He just tells you. You've turned aside after Satan. You're teaching your kid how to grow up and turn aside after Satan. That's not very flattering. That's pretty hard. Stuff like that. Another one or two here. Let's see here. There's that. I thought I had a couple ones I really wanted to get in because I enjoy this stuff here. Let's see here. There we go. We did all right. I suppose we probably could stop there. Wouldn't that be amazing? Yeah, we'll stop there. Anything else I wanted to do here? Oh, let's do another one. I knew I couldn't stop. Way too early. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here's probably a big reason why we can't talk to people about these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor heard, either have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So it goes on here that the Spirit of God teaches these people all this stuff. Well, what do people today think that they are? They think that they're anointed. They think that God has actually given all this stuff to them. Well, that's what it says right here. Right. Now, here you already know the answers to this thing. What did God show these people? He showed it to whatever it was He showed it to them in part. He didn't show them everything. And then Paul later on says in Corinthians, he says, listen, that which is perfect, when it comes, this stuff right here that God's showing us in this time, only in part, He's going to have it all in here. So, who's anointed? Because if we look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, if you believe that you are anointed like that, then you should not have to have anybody teach you anything. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. So there are people that think that you can't teach them anything. God has shown them everything, and He's going to continue to show them everything, based on 1 Corinthians. But no, Paul says, no, that's history. Now, if you want to have God teach you something, it's all right here. And that's where you get your teaching. That's why it's hard to teach people about Paul. Because they got to give up the fact that they think that they're anointed. There's a lot of that floating around. A lot of that. Now we can stop. That was one I wanted to get in. And the rest, they're online for people if you want to look at them. These are hard times. People not interested in God's help.